So here we are, Google I.O. again, Kaushik.
Hey!
All right, I'll try not to sneeze on you.
I'll try to not lose my voice.
Yeah. All right.
Excuse me.
Oh, that's timing. You. I got the timing on that sneeze perfect.
From the Spec Network. This is Fragmented, an Android developer podcast where we talk about building good software and becoming better Android developers. I'm Don Felker.
And I'm Kaushik Gopal.
Welcome to the show. This episode of Fragmented has been brought to you by Rollbar. With Rollbar, you can catch code errors before your users do, because I don't know about you, but the last place I want to find an error is inside of a one-star review on Google Play. That's just pretty much the worst case scenario, because getting those one-star reviews to go away is really problematic. So the next best thing is actually preventing them from happening. So if we can prevent those errors, even better. Rollbar will help you do that. The cool thing about Rollbar is they work with all your existing major languages and frameworks. And to really tie this together is they work with your Android application. So they're, you know, bug and crash reporting, all that kind of stuff. And they can also do this on the server as well. And then you can tie that together. So knowing this release X of the Android app and release Y of your Rails API, this perfect storm is happening and you're getting these errors. It's easy to track those things, much easier than it would traditionally be if you didn't have a solution like Rollbar. The cool thing is they also integrate with existing things like Slack. So when I do a deployment or have an issue that comes in, it automatically notifies me inside of a Slack channel, which makes it really easy for me to see what's going on. Especially if there's something that's really high priority, I'll know immediately because I'll be getting a bunch of alerts and it's time to go fix it and check it out. Rollbar is used by a bunch of companies. Kaushik uses them, I use them, but there's also folks like Heroku, Twilio, Kayak, Zendesk, Twitch. The list goes really on and on and on. Now, if you'd like to check out Rollbar, you can go to rollbar.com/fragmented and you'll get the bootstrap plan for free. Again, go ahead and check that out at rollbar.com/fragmented and you'll get that bootstrap plan for free. Thanks for listening and thanks, Rollbar. This week on the Fragmented Podcast, Kaushik and I are at Google I.O. 2017. If you watched a live stream, or probably you didn't even have to do that to realize some of the big news that recently was dropped at Google I.O. 2017. Needless to say, this entire conference was amazing. Great announcements. The facilities were just top-notch compared to last year. Now, again, I didn't come last year, but from what I heard, it was kind of a disaster. This year, they turned it around. They fixed it. Kudos to Google. It was a fantastic time. I really can't wait to come back next year. This time around, we're doing the same thing that we've done previously on these Google I.O. special episodes. We sit down with a bunch of different developers and ask them some questions about Android development and a whole bunch of things. So let's just go ahead and cut to the chase. We hope you enjoy.
Hey, this is Kaushik, and Don and I are reporting live from Google I.O. today. I'm actually in a quieter spot right now, but I'm going to head in to Shoreline Amphitheater, which is where they're holding it, and embrace the craziness. Let's see who we can find.
Hi, my name is Dan Kim. I work at Basecamp in Chicago, and I'm an Android programmer there, and I've been there for about 4 years now.
Cool. So what's one of the most exciting things you've heard today at Google I.O.?
Without a doubt, it was definitely the Kotlin announcement. I think pretty much everybody was caught off guard by that. But at Basecamp, we've been using it for about a year now. And it's been life-changing as far as how much work we get done and how well we do it. And so now having it be officially supported means that probably better tooling, better support, more people to talk to about it, get help. So no question, that was the biggest thing for us.
So what's one of the coolest things that you personally do all the time with like Kotlin that you just like, you love about Kotlin itself?
Yeah, there's a ton of stuff. It's hard to, I feel like the thing I tell people a lot is that Kotlin is the sum of its parts are greater than sort of any one unique thing that it does. Everybody talks about nullability and, you know, a lot of the conditionals and for loops and stuff like that. And that stuff's all great. But it's hard for me to say like, oh, there's this one thing, because all of those things together is what makes it really great. It's hard to say that there's this one thing that is, you know, the thing that I love about it the most.
So do you use any, so we've already talked about Kotlin, you use Kotlin in production. Do you guys use any JavaScript inside of it? I mean, other than maybe for basic stuff, but do you have any like, you know, React or anything like that inside of your application?
No, we toyed with the idea of using, we have an iOS team also, and we toyed with maybe doing some sort of cross-platform stuff with React, but we didn't get anywhere with it, so we kind of just tabled it for now. But not a lot of JS stuff, just enough for us to interface with the web views that we need to do.
So what's your take on React and so forth? Is it something that's that you're kind of plus or minus on? What's your thoughts on it?
I'm interested in it. I think it's really good for small teams. Like if you're one or two developers and you need cross-platform support against like everything. And so I think their philosophy, which is sort of learn once, write multiple times or whatever. I think that makes a lot of sense. You basically learn the style and the language and you can kind of write it all over the place. It's not really learn once, write once. It's not really that. It's more about being able to sort of use that same knowledge across platforms. So I think it's really good for a very, very small teams. We're a small team, but we have, you know, a couple iOS programmers, a couple Android programmers. So we can kind of cover those native bases. So for us, it doesn't exactly fit yet, but I think it can be very useful for a lot of folks.
So what's one thing that Android Studio doesn't do that you wish that it would do?
That's a tough one. How about build faster? Does that count? I don't know. Like, I hear a lot of... I hear a lot of cracks about Xcode and things like that, and I don't really have a ton of problems with Android Studio, especially with Kotlin. I guess the Kotlin plugin itself is so good that it helps us, you know, all the lint checks and everything that it provides, it does so much work for us. I don't know. I don't really have too many gripes about Android Studio.
Cool. So if you could change anything, one thing about Android development, is there anything that you would change? And if so, what would it be?
Man, I feel like I'm kind of beating a dead horse here, but before I would have easily said, oh, I wish I could just write in Kotlin. I wish it was natively supported. And, you know, I wish I could just write Kotlin all the time and it would never go away. And like, we can guarantee that. And now that we can, I don't really have a good answer for that. It's like, I think it's a little tough to like do layouts and, you know, dynamically see what's going on. You can, you know, it's easy to write a static layout and, you know, see what it looks like. Mm-hmm. And then, but at runtime, you have no idea kind of like what it's going to really, really do. So, that's like a little nitpick, but for the most part, I think it's all pretty solid.
So one of our plans here that Kaushik and I have is to ask everybody that we talk to, like, what's one app that they've recently started using or they've been using for a while that's kind of like their favorite app that, you know, do you have one of those recently?
Yeah, I think it just came across it like about a month ago. It's called Visor.
Okay.
I forget the author's name.
Kaush, right?
Yeah, Kaush. But like... I've never...
Not you.
Like, it took me forever to find it, and a lot of people have used it before, but basically it screencasts your phone connected to your computer, basically. Yeah. So you can see it on your computer, you can manipulate your screen, and so if you have multiple devices connected, you can just manipulate everything with your mouse and everything, and it's a huge time saver. You can type, you know, with your keyboard and everything. So I felt like I was way behind. Like, everybody already knew about this tool, and I just never knew about it for some reason. But that is an excellent, excellent tool for just testing and being across a bunch of different devices.
Cool. And so last question here for you. Do you have Android O, the preview, installed on your phone?
I do not. I'm not that brave. I think I saw Mark Allison was installing it.
Oh, right here.
And was he putting it on his like primary device? Because that is real. That's legit. But no, I can't do that. Not on the daily driver.
All right, Dan, well, we really appreciate you coming on the show for a few minutes to chat with us. If folks want to get a hold of you, what's the best way that they can reach you?
Best way is on Twitter, at Dan Kim, DanKim. And then happy to get emails as well, dan@basecamp.com.
Thanks a lot, Dan.
Have a good one. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Patrick Baborka, and I do primarily independent contracting. I have my own little consultancy called Cozio Digital. Got a few developers with me, so yeah.
So, what was like the most interesting announcement that you heard at I/O so far?
I gotta say, it was probably the FindView by ID. No. I mean, in terms of excitement, I mean, it would have been nice probably 5 years ago, but at this point, you know, probably the Kotlin one, you know, but everyone's gonna say that on this, so I had to reach, you know, go for something new.
Yeah, no, it's the same thing. I felt like up until that last 10 minutes, I had like, you know, I was like, oh, there could be multiple answers, but then after that announcement, though, yeah, crazy. Have you used Kotlin in your code base?
I don't have it in any production code, but a year and a half ago, I was trying to be an early adopter, and went a little overboard. I went like Kotlin, Data Binding, Dagger 2, and dear Jesus, a little toy app ended up with like 30-second compile times in like a matter of minutes, and I was multidexing within the first like 10 lines of code.
So like all the features that we've ever wanted, just like throw them all together while they were in alpha. That must have gone pretty well.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. It was a little nuts. That turned me off a little bit from Kotlin for a bit. Mm-hmm. But I'm friends with a few people, you know, at Trello. And I know those guys are big advocates for Kotlin. And so, yeah.
Have you used like React Native or like JavaScript or like other things besides like the traditional Java development?
I have used, I haven't used React Native, but I have used Kotlin, like you said. But React Native, I've heard good things, but I feel like it's one of those things that until it becomes more stable, mm-hmm. it's a little risky to put, you know, in terms of like actual work effort into. Right. I've also heard that it has some issues with performance on lists.
That is true.
So, it'd be cool to learn, perhaps write some like individual small components like Airbnb does. Right. But no, I haven't like done an app using React Native.
So another question, what is one thing that you wished Android Studio did that it currently doesn't?
That's a tricky one. I wish it was easier to extract parameters. So for all you that don't know, there's a lot of magic you can do when it comes to extracting stuff. You can highlight segments of your code and do Command Shift A. I don't know what the Windows hotkeys are, but and then you could like type in like extract, you know, like you know, field, variable, but parameter is like you have to go through this whole flow of a dialogue, and you're just like screw this.
Oh, okay, yeah. I was gonna say like, don't we already have that? But you're right. Like, I don't think it's as simple. It's like move. Yeah, no, I remember. It's not as like fluid as some of the other.
Yeah, exactly. I know that's a very small thing, but you know, I'm sure you're gonna hear like the big ones at compile time. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. Build times, man. I'm a big fan of like reducing those. All right. So, what's one favorite app that you've been using on your phone right now that you think our listeners should probably give a shot?
I actually don't explore. I'm a pretty, I guess, conservative app user. The only real app that I've been kind of using lately is Trello in terms of like new apps. And I didn't use it for a long time. But like I said earlier, I have a few friends at Trello, and
I heard their dev team is like not too shabby.
Yeah, I don't know. I worked with a few of them before. No, they're great. They're great. I've been toying around with that, you know, trying to see like how I could use it in, you know, my day to day. So, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, last question. Do you have Android O installed on your phone? Do you have the preview installed on your phone?
No, I do not. I've never been a person to put preview builds or beta builds on my phone.
Smart guy.
Yeah, I've seen some people get bit in the butt and have to lose, you know, like actually the guy who works at Trello, when M got released, I think he was switching back and forth, and every time he wiped his, you know, device.
Oh, who is this?
Vishnu.
Oh, Vishnu.
So yeah, I remember this is fun.
Well, thank you so much, Patrick. If folks want to reach out to you or find out like the cool stuff that you're doing, what are some ways we can reach out to you?
So you can always reach me at Twitter, Patrick Poborka, P-A-T-R-Y-K, Poborka, P-O-B-O-R-C-A. I also have a Medium, so yeah, same handle.
Thank you so much for your time. I hope the rest of your IO is pretty cool.
All right, thank you.
I'm Jerome Martis, and I work at Salesforce.com, and I'm an Android developer working on the Service Cloud mobile product.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you for talking to us today here at Google I.O. What's the most exciting announcement you heard today here at Google I.O.?
So I would probably say it's Kotlin. I think that's pretty big. So at Salesforce, one of the apps we're working on, it's in 100% Kotlin. Wow. So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah. Cool. So you guys use Kotlin. Do you guys use anything else, like any other apps that you've worked with? Do you guys use any like JavaScript-based stuff like React or anything?
Yeah, there are some apps written in React and some in Java, obviously. Mostly the ones we're working on right now is all in Kotlin.
What is your take on the whole React thing? Are you like for it? Are you against it? Are you like impartial? Or what's your thought process?
I try to stay away from it. I mean, I think you're gonna get the best experience with a completely native code base. So I'm pro native.
Cool, excellent. So what's one thing that Android Studio doesn't do that you wish that it would do?
Yeah, that's a hard one. I wish it was faster. I wish it didn't take up so much memory.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's good. Okay. If you could change one thing about Android development, what would it be? Because let's be honest, nothing's perfect ever.
Yeah. I would have said I wish they could fix the lifecycle issues, but it looks like based on the session I just came from, that's kind of been solved a bit. I haven't checked it out, but the architecture components are pretty cool.
So speaking of that, what session did you just go to?
The lifecycle, the architecture components, Android architecture components. Okay. So they talk a little bit about some of the new things they're bringing in. It's more annotation based. Oh. So you can provide an annotation for a method and it can subscribe basically to a lifecycle event. So you can keep all that logic all encapsulated in one class and have your caller manage the lifecycle behavior of that of your listeners or whatever objects you're using.
That's pretty cool. I didn't even know that they were going to do something like that. So that's awesome. So what's one app that you maybe use day to day or you've just started recently used that you've actually absolutely kind of fallen in love with or you've just come to rely on all the time or you just think it's cool?
So I know I'm late to the game on this one, but I'll probably say Robinhood. So I recently just started investing in stocks on my own and I've used Robinhood and it's a delight to use. I mean, it's a really well-made app and it's really simple. You can avoid fees buying and selling stocks. So.
All right, then have you installed the Android O preview on your phone yet?
So I actually just installed it on my phone.
Today?
Yeah, on my daily driver. Oh, I know that's, gutsy, yeah, I'm probably going to regret it at I.O. Probably going to regret it, but I just did it to check it out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Cool, Dre. Well, thank you for taking the time to speak with us today here on the podcast. If folks want to get a hold of you, what's the best way that they can reach you?
So you guys can find me on Twitter. That's at Jarell Mardis. That's JerrellMardis.
Thanks again, and hope you enjoy Google I.O.
All right, thanks.
I'm with a familiar face, I would say. So can you tell us who you are? And yeah, can you tell us who you are?
Sure. I'm Anise Davis, an Android developer. I work at a social impact startup where we do cool things with solar energy.
You know, I blanked out because I remember the last time we met at I.O., I also blanked out and I said something stupid like at the beginning of the show. So, hey, tradition, right? All right. So what's the most exciting thing that you heard at I.O.?
The most exciting thing has been the release of the architecture components, especially the lifecycle observers and everything. It's really cool.
Well, I mean, you had problems with lifecycle before?
I know that. No comment.
All right, so this is a question we have to ask. Have you used Kotlin before?
Yes, I have.
In your production app?
Yes, I do.
Oh,
I know. Ahead of the curve on this one.
Alrighty. So if there was one thing that you thought was really cool about Kotlin that our listeners should know about, what would that be?
I think the coolest thing are probably the extension functions. Mm-hmm. It's a way to clean up your code base by just kind of tacking on functions to existing classes.
Okay. Oh, that's pretty cool. So along the same lines, the other thing that's been going on in the community is like people are like, oh, people, we should start using React Native as well because it allows, like, it's a different language, it allows sharing. Do you have thoughts on using React Native?
I have a lot of thoughts on it. However,
I'm listening.
I have actually recently started learning a lot about React Native. Mm-hmm. I'm taking an online course right now.
Oh, nice.
I've done a little Hello World app. Mm-hmm. So I do think it's beneficial for Android developers to take it a little more seriously and start investigating it.
Okay. Could you tell us what that course is?
Yeah, it's a course on LinkedIn. I think it's like getting started with React Native.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's pretty cool. Switching gears a little. We all love Android Studio, but if there was one thing that you wanted from Android Studio, what would it be?
I would like to easily be able to run all of my tests and see the code coverage across flavors and my espresso tests with my JUnit tests, just really out-of-the-box support for testing.
I like that. I really like that.
Yay.
Testing, people. Always keep testing. Okay, so if you could change one thing about Android development, like in general about Android, what would that be?
That's an awesome question. I think it goes back to the architecture components talk today.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's a little too challenging for new developers to jump in. And I would love it to be like much more streamlined, more out of the box capabilities, a lot more drag and drop. Mm-hmm. And I think it'll just aid to the diversity of the community and everything if if it was a little more easier to get started. Like,
that's really interesting because it is, I never thought about this, but like if you already know the pains of the life cycle, then this is like a godsend. But if you've never had to deal with this, like is
it's a nightmare. Yeah.
Fascinating. Okay, that's a good one. All right, so what is one app that you're using? We know your answer from last year, but we'd like an answer this year as well. So what's one app that you have on your phone that you think our listeners should be using?
I am using this app called Forest.
Oh.
And it's really cool because I'm a little addicted to Twitter. And basically, I can decide to like plant a tree and the app will pretty much take over the screen and block my notifications. And I'll have a tree grow if I don't bother my phone for some specified amount of time.
Oh, wow.
So it's really great at just kind of like helping me break away from my phone and doing like more focused activity, which I'm a huge proponent of, time blocking and just being more productive in that way. So Forest is the app that I'm using for that.
Oh, that's fantastic. I haven't heard of this. So it's like social control, making you feel good. Like, you know, the virtual environment
is
better.
Yes, right. I'm planting a tree by not bothering my phone.
Yeah.
So it's pretty awesome.
I love it. I love that. Okay. Okay, the last question and probably the most important question. Do you have Android O installed on your phone now?
No.
No, okay. You're one of the smart ones. Okay.
Yeah. I'm a mom. I don't live life that dangerously.
Anise, as always, a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time. I hope the rest of your IO is amazing.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Zach Swears. I work at Uber on the mobile platform team there. And day to day, basically, we've got about 350 mobile engineers between iOS and Android. And it's a small shop. We're a growing startup. And then we support basically all the various program feature engineers that we have in the company, building out like internal frameworks, architecture, etc.
Yeah, active a little bit on Reddit there.
Yeah, there's a good contingent of us from the Android Dev subreddit. Group of us moderate it. Well, really just two of us, but yeah, some of us have been more mod fathers lately.
That's a good saying. That's good. So of the things that have been announced here at Google I/O today, which there's numerous, is there anything particular that really shines for you?
Probably the same answer that everyone's been given. Kotlin as a first party first party support for Kotlin is that's game changing, I think, and totally kind of left field.
Excellent. So do you use Kotlin right now in day-to-day development or anything like that?
I do, actually. I think I'm the only one at Uber that does, but it's I use it right now in a lot of tooling. So not anything that's in the actual like production apps. It's for basically we do a lot of code gen for generating our models and services and also our base view classes. Uh-huh. And a lot of that is written in Kotlin.
So of the things you do with Kotlin, is there anything in particular that you absolutely love about the language itself?
There's a long list for that. The specific way that we use Kotlin has actually been really fun. We actually use it almost as like a scripting language. Like it used to be if I wanted to like write up a quick script to, you know, do some tedious task, yeah. I would actually just like, you know, open up PyCharm and then write something up in Python. And actually like I've gotten so used to the good tooling that you get using Kotlin and working with IntelliJ that the last time I had to do something like that, I was like, this is taking too long, and I was running in Python, and there's no IDE help from it, and so I switched to Kotlin and actually like wrote something up in like 10 minutes, and it was super quick, and I was like, this is awesome.
Kind of just overall good language. You're enjoying it then?
Yeah, for a lot of just like little like one-off scripting needs, I've started using it for that too, and it's been a real pleasure to work with.
So you use Python, you use Java, you use Kotlin. Have you used anything like a JavaScript framework or React Native? What's your thoughts on that whole situation that's happening right now in the industry?
Yeah, so me personally, I have not, but we do have one React Native app at Uber.
Oh.
It's
almost as big as your other teams.
Yeah. We have a restaurant dashboard app that basically it's for Uber Eats and for restaurants to have as like a dashboard for working with couriers and whatnot. And all that is actually built in React Native. And we've sort of just been kind of like we being like my team on platform kind of watching to see like how that goes and what kind of issues they run into with it. Thus far, in general, we haven't really had any strong inclination to try to adopt it more widely. We've actually done a lot of discussion internally and also talking with contacts that we have at companies that use it more widely, like Airbnb and Facebook. And yeah, so far, nothing really pushing us to go bigger on it.
Cool. So let's change it up a little bit. What's one thing Android Studio doesn't do that you wish that it would do?
That's a... I've been sitting on the side here watching the other interviews trying to think of a good answer for this one.
That's a good question.
Yeah, I don't know. It's I think, honestly, like, the Android Studio team are all, like, really amazing developers, and they... you know, every time we come to I.O. or any sort of developer summit, they talk about what they've been working on. It's just, like... Yeah, it's honestly, like, it's kind of fine for me. Like, we have issues, obviously, with, like, Gradle build times, and it's very clear watching these I.O. talks that, like, that is the problem that they're taking very seriously. And even, you know, compared to a year ago, it's a night and day difference. And so I think they're on a good track road right now. Obviously, everything could always be faster. Everything could always use less memory if possible. And as far as, like, features go, yeah, I mean, I think it's been doing great. The only thing that I guess I would like to see more of is design tooling, particularly as far as, like, bridging to other design tools. Mm-hmm. So if you look at something like Lottie, for instance, and having something that works directly with what designers use actually, like, takes out so much friction from that pipeline that would otherwise be there.
Yeah, definitely agree. So Tor, Xavier, if you guys are listening in the team, keep doing the good work. Keep doing the good work. So now let's take it a little step further. If there's one thing that you could change about Android development, what would that be?
If anything, you know, if it's not, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, they've addressed a lot of the big pain points people had around, like, lifecycle concerns and lack of direction of, like, architecture and things like that at I.O. this year. And for me, I think still the biggest issue that Android has is sort of the same old issue they've had since forever, which is basically, you know, getting updates out to devices more timely and being able to sort of not have to cater to a long tail of low min SDKs or a long tail of low SDK versions and whatnot. So that's still my biggest one, I think. It's not really a feature for, like, the tooling side. It's more, you know, something that Google, I'm sure, is trying to figure out better solutions long term. We've got things like Project Treble and whatnot. So we'll have to see. That's still the biggest one for me.
So I'll switch it up again here. Every time I'm working with someone or I look at their phone and they're navigating and showing me something on their phone, I always see a cool app that I've never seen before. And I ask them, like, whoa, what is that? What's an app that you've recently used, or maybe it could be something you've used for a long time that is kind of like your go-to or something you just find really cool lately?
Yeah, so recently it's more service than app, but the app itself is actually really nice too, is YouTube TV.
Oh.
They came to San Francisco, and I'm a fan of cable cutting, and we got it, and yeah, it works great. And the app itself is it's nicely designed, has nice animations, works really well, and YouTube TV is my recent one. Long term, I think the Slack Android app is, like, one of the best Android apps I've ever used. Period. Yeah. From, like, design, functionality, like, they do an awesome job over there.
Yeah, it does. It's I think we're all in it pretty much all day. So it's fantastic. So here's the golden question here. Do you have the Android O preview installed on your phone?
Not on my daily driver, no.
Okay.
But they did start the beta program today, so I might check that out. I have a test device that I put it on, and so we'll see.
Well, thank you for taking the time to speak with us today here on Fragmented Podcast here at Google I.O. If folks want to get a hold of you, what's the best way that they can do that?
Probably Twitter. I'm not that active, but I'm trying to do more on it. My username's Pandanomic, like PANDANOMIC. So, yeah.
All right. Well, great. Thanks again for coming on the show, and have a good Google I.O.
Cool. Thanks.
My name is Matt Kranzler. I am a Android engineer at Salesforce, and I work on a service cloud product there, and I also work on a side project called TV Show Faves. That's been a passion project for about 6.5 years of mine.
That's pretty awesome. So what's the most exciting announcement that you heard at I.O.?
By far, the announcement that they are supporting Kotlin officially. I've recently decided to rewrite my side project app 100% in Kotlin. As well as one of the apps I work on at Salesforce is currently 100% in Kotlin too. So it vindicates the decisions that we made and had to, you know, convince our boss to use it. So
yeah, much easier decision now, right? Yep. What's one thing about Kotlin that you think our listeners might not know that they should?
I think the extension functions are probably the most useful feature. You know, writing your own extension functions for functionality in your app, but also the existing extension functions that are as part of the standard library, mm-hmm. it adds a lot more fluent code in your app with a lot more concise, you know, code. So you don't have to worry about, you know, working with some of the crappy APIs that are out there. You can, you know, simplify those and get a lot more out of it.
Oh, very cool. So, I mean, like another thing that the Android community has been talking about, like when, like pre the Kotlin announcement, is also like maybe potentially using things like React Native, right? Mm-hmm. What's your take on that?
I kind of try to avoid cross-platform, except for Kotlin. I encourage native Kotlin development. I've always had a battle with you know, hybrid developers in that I believe very much in the performance and just overall benefits of a native app. And so for me, that while it's getting better and better, I think there's still a long ways to go. But I do think it makes sense in certain circumstances. If you know you have teams that are trying to share code or UI, it might make sense. But it really depends on the use case.
That's fair. That's reasonable. Okay, switching gears a little. What's one thing that you wished Android Studio did that it currently doesn't?
So I just got a MacBook Pro with the Touch Power.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So currently, it's kind of interesting transitioning from a regular keyboard back, you know, on my work laptop to using the touch bar for function keys.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because they're kind of offset and it's also not tactile. So one thing I wish is that it would actually take advantage of the APIs and provide useful debugging tools and things that are, you know, part of Android Studio. I think they could get a lot of value out of that.
Oh, that's pretty good. And like stepping back a little, if you could change one thing about like Android development in general, right? Like what's one pain point that you think that needs to be addressed?
I still think that it's like the age old problem. Build times are still not fast enough. even with like instant apps, there's a lot of incompatibilities with depending on what your stack looks like. So I've had to disable it a lot. You know, when you're working with like Kotlin and like, code generators and stuff like that, like a lot of times those conflict and you don't, you know, you get random crashes because of the code that's replaced. And so it'd be nice if instant app worked, you know, 100% of the time, and also if builds were faster. So
yeah, that's totally reasonable. Getting our build times down to like web development build times is probably the best thing, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so have you installed the Android O preview on your phone?
No, I'm not crazy. I'll wait till I get home and I have my test device to put it on there.
Okay. And a last question. What's one app that you're using now that you think our listeners should take a look at?
So I actually really like the Flamingo app, Twitter client.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very solid, customizable app. I really like the ability to change out colors and, you know, they allow you to change, like, you know, bottom navigation versus sidebar navigation, all that kind of stuff. It's a really nice reference app for, you know, providing a good experience with material design and also customization and performance.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually, when I work on, you know, my apps, I use that as a reference a lot of times for, you know, animations or even just like UX for like settings and stuff like that.
Oh, that's awesome. Alrighty. Thank you so much for your time. I hope you have a great I.O. If folks want to reach out to you, what's the best way they can do that?
Probably Twitter. My handle's at Matt Kranzler, which is MattKranzler.
Perfect. Thank you so much for your time, Matt.
All right, thanks.
Hey, everyone. I'm Roberto. I'm an instructor at Caster.io. I started working on Android like 7 years ago, more or less. And finally, for the first time in my life, I'm at Google I.O., so I'm totally excited.
Excellent. So this is your first time here. You're also a fellow Android GDE. So how are you liking Google I.O. so far?
Oh, it's actually amazing. I'm really, really excited.
Excellent. So of the things that have been announced today at Google I.O., is there anything that's really caught your attention that you're excited about?
Yeah, honestly, well, everyone is saying the same now, but, well, Kotlin. I didn't see that coming. I was like, oh, man, I'm so happy now. Really?
Yeah, exactly. So have you had any Kotlin inside of your code base in your day-to-day job or any clients you've worked for? Do you have any Kotlin in those apps?
Yes, actually, we made a full production app with Kotlin for a client, and well, I love that. I mean, it's just so easy.
What's one of your favorite things that you like about Kotlin? Why is it so good in your opinion?
Well, the thing that I like the most are data classes. I mean, you can write models like in one line, and of course, you can make them behave as you want them, but still, they are pretty easy.
Excellent. So you've done some Kotlin, you've done some Java. What is your thought on this whole like React Native thing going around? What's your take on it?
Well, I think that every tool has a use. I personally never tried React Native or any other tool like that. But I think it might be actually good if you have to do maybe a simpler app, like a conference app or something like that. Mm-hmm. It could actually speed up the process.
Cool. All right. So you spend a lot of your day in Android Studio, right?
Yes.
Oh. Okay. So what's one thing in Android Studio right now that it doesn't do that you wish that it did?
Well, at the moment I'm on Android Studio 2.3. So actually I still have to use Retro Lambda. I have to wait until the 2.4 is at least beta so that I can get rid of that.
Understandable. Now, if there's one thing about Android development that you could change, is there anything? And if there is, what would that be?
Oh, this is a tough question. Actually, I don't know. I'm pretty happy with things how they are.
Good, good. So if anyone from the Android team is listening here, so you guys are doing a good job. Keep putting in the good work. Thank you. Yeah, definitely. So as I've been talking to various folks around here and seeing various individuals here at Google I.O., I've seen them interacting with their phones, and sometimes I'll look down and I'll see them working on an app or just interacting with an app and say, whoa, what is that? What's that app you're working with? And I've been exposed to so many new apps lately. And so we've decided to start asking everybody, like, what's an app that you've recently started using or an app that you've been using for a while that you just really like the way it's done or it's just one of your favorite apps? What would that be?
That is actually another tough question. I will say Google I.O., but no.
Probably because you're here, makes it easy to kind of see what's going on here. Excellent. All right, so here's the golden question here. Do you have the Android O preview installed on your phone?
At the moment, nope, because unfortunately my Nexus 6P abandoned me right before the I/O, so I'm on a Moto G that hasn't any preview yet. So.
Oh, so what happened? It just died on you?
Let's say that he had a very bad encounter with the floor. No, it was my wife's.
All right, Roberto, we want to say thank you for taking the time to talk to us today here at Google I.O. If folks want to get a hold of you online, what's the best way for them to do that?
I will say Twitter @_tweeds, okay, or on Caster.io.
All right. Great. Well, thanks for taking the time and have a good Google I.O.
Thank you. Bye.
My name is Christina Lee. I'm an Android developer at Pinterest right now. And, oh, I guess that is who I am and what I do. I am an Android developer and I do it at Pinterest.
Perfect. So the funny thing is when I, in a completely non-creepy way, Googled you before, the reason you came up with the top result was something even more amazing. And that made me feel, as a developer, I felt my life had very little meaning. Can you tell us what that was about?
Yeah, I believe you're referencing my run across the country.
Yeah, just in case people didn't get it, across the country, that was not like a slip.
Yeah. So a lot of people have questions, so I can reel off the most common ones. Mm-hmm. I was unsupported, so I ran alone. And that, wow. and the way I did that was I had a baby stroller full of all of my stuff. Mm-hmm. Another common question is it took 5 months to do. Right. And always people want to say, like, were there ever times when you want to give up? And the answer was almost never, but there was a single day in Wyoming where Wyoming is known for its headwinds. Yeah. And in case you're not aware, a baby stroller is kind of like a wind sail. Oh.
Hanging on to your life.
40 mile per hour headwinds with this, pushing this baby stroller. It was the hardest day of my life. And I got back to the hotel and was like, I don't know why I thought this was a good idea. But other than that, I believed I would make it, and I did. So, yeah.
That's fantastic. And we'll try to add a link to the show notes for like that article. I think it was like fantastic stuff that
Thank
you did.
You.
Okay, switching back to like your amazing developer side. Oh, what is the most amazing thing that you've heard? I'm so mad at this question. I can't even get through this. Okay, so what is the best announcement that you heard at Google I/O? And I'm saying this very grudgingly.
I think this is where I shout out to the architecture components, right?
Yeah.
Hi, Yeet. Kotlin was announced today. I am thrilled, more than thrilled. I don't know what the next level up from that is. So I think everybody's here is really excited, and I'm included in that.
And folks should stay tuned, because I believe on Friday, right? Like that's like 2 days from now, like the second day, we have Christina up on stage who's like talking about Kotlin, and I think that was an amazing thing. Can you tell us a little about that?
Yeah, I'll be talking about Kotlin if I don't faint first. So, I'm doing a joint talk with Jake Wharton. I'm the other person doing that talk with him. And we're going to cover a lot of material that we covered before, which is basically the basics of Kotlin, what that means for Android, and then also how to go about bringing Kotlin into a mature code base, which is a problem that a lot of developers face right now. They've had issues, and we've gotten rid of one of the issues, which is that Google wasn't officially behind Kotlin, but there's still hosts more to go. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna cover both sides of that.
Fantastic. And so for folks, so if there was like just one thing that you could point people to, saying like, hey, like Kotlin is amazing because of this one thing, what would that be?
This is going to be a cheat to this question, which is that the one thing that is that I think Kotlin helps us use our computers to better effect. And that's like a blanket statement for it gives us that type safe nullability. Okay. And that's something that pushes work onto the compilers. And likewise, like a lot of other features in Kotlin, what they do is they take work that you used to have in your head and used to have to keep straight, and they put it on the compiler so that the compiler can do that work for you. Mm-hmm. And so that gets me like five features instead of just having to pick one, but I really and truly believe that the thing that Kotlin gives us is the ability to use a computer more effectively so that we don't have to keep track of what is and isn't nullable and things like that.
Absolutely. I mean, even to this day, I mean, it's like freaking 2017, right?
Yes.
And null pointer exceptions are still like
exactly. Such
a painful
and
thing.
Even like with mutability and things like that, like the ability to mark something as a val and know that that reference isn't going to change is really useful to us, because it's really hard to deal with things that are both mutable and in this asynchronous space. And so we get to control those aspects in a way that we didn't before, or that it was much harder to do before. And so I think, again, like it just comes down to now I can use my computer to even greater effect. Like it can do like 10 things that it couldn't do before for me, so I don't have to do that work.
Yeah, I love that answer.
I try.
Along the same lines, before Kotlin was officially sort of like announced today, right? The other thing that folks have also been talking about is using React Native and potentially sharing code. Do you have like thoughts on that?
So from a very selfish standpoint, I love writing in Kotlin, and so the idea of moving to JavaScript is somewhat horrifying to me.
Mildly horrifying.
Yeah, that's like the truth of the statement. But that said, at my startup before this, I was writing in Kotlin for a good chunk of the time. Also did React Native for several months and Swift. And React Native really solved a problem for us, which is that we had to iterate quickly. And that was something that other tools couldn't solve. And so I think that React Native really, really shines in that light. And if you have to use JavaScript to do that, then you know that's what you do to get by. That said, I think I've heard this coming out of Airbnb, and I think this was our stance on the matter too, is that it's really, really good at that iterative step, but when you move to that part of the process where you're stabilizing your features and you want them to be fast and performant and you're optimizing, I really think that developing in the native environment is still a much better way to do that. And so for me, I think of it as a useful tool in the same way that we see other things, but not like the kind of catch-all win that everybody likes to, like, because people paint this future, right, of we're going to use React Native and we're going to write the app once and that's it. You don't need any, like, you don't need an Android team and an iOS team. And
it's never that simple.
Exactly. And I'm not bought in on that vision, but I do think that React Native, like, gave our startup an edge that other startups didn't have, and I'm grateful for that. Right. But it is a tool for a very specific use case at the moment. And maybe someday they're going to move past the point that it is right now. But I think right now it has a very specific use case, and it's really good at that, but the rest of it is still better done in native.
Okay. That's awesome. Okay, so quick fire round, switching gears a little. What is one thing that you think Android Studio doesn't have at the moment that you would love it to have?
I don't know if this is a feature. How do I phrase this in the form of a feature? When I put my computer to sleep and I have the emulator Android Studio running and it drains the battery in like 15 minutes, even when I'm not using the computer, that's frustrating. So I would love for it not to do that.
And these Android Studio guys, if only they got something right, right?
Jeez. You know, IntelliJ, Android Studio, who knows?
I know, like shabby folks. Yeah.
But you can tell that I'm all the way down at the bottom of the barrel, because I was thinking about this question beforehand and really couldn't come up with anything. So I was like, oh yeah, you know, I have this and I have this and I have this, and like everything that I wanted was already there. So I'm like, where can I look? What dark corner can I pull some complaint out of? Yeah. But I do actually, now that we're talking more, I think I use a plugin for Vim. And it definitely clashes with a lot of the key bindings that are there. And it's not like a really seamless process. So in my ideal world, there would be basically first party support for that.
You didn't tell me you're a Vim user. We're stopping this thing right now.
This is it. We're walking away.
That's something I've never thought about. But yeah, you're totally right. If you use Vim.
It clashes. With everything. Oh. Yes. Freezes. It crashes a lot. So super useful. But I would love for better support for that.
Okay, cool. The Android Studio team, like, you know what to work on next. Vim plugins.
Right. Your request of one.
All right, so if you could change one thing about Android development in general, what would that be?
Yeah, this is such a timely question, because I was just standing around with a group of Android developers, and what I was telling them is that the trajectory in my career drastically changed the moment I got a mentor. And I shouldn't say got a mentor, I asked for a mentor, because it's something that you have to do. And shout out to Chuki for doing that work, and to Siobhan, who's my other mentor, for being there and putting in the work. But it's something that I wish that we could change about Android, that it seems like we really don't do enough of that. And it can make such a difference in people's careers. And it's such a great way to pass knowledge from group to group. And I really, really wish that there was more of that in the community, and a better way to do it, and you know, practices that would make it easier. And I know someone gave this talk at Chicago Roboto, and everybody's been raving about it. And I just wish that we would see more of that in Android, in our developers groups, because I think it's so important.
All right, so what is one app on your phone that you use now that you think all our listeners should absolutely be looking at or using?
I adore the Robinhood app. Oh. I've told them this. The execution of that app is just flawless, in my opinion. And I'm always stunned that they have a dev team of two, or I think they maybe have a 2.5, 3. And that's just, it's shocking to me that they could put out such high quality work with such a small team. But just every little bit of that, from the thought process that went into the design to show offline states and things like that, to the actual execution of the animations and not dropping any frames. Like, it's just a beautiful app to like look at. I also have used it quite successfully to fund vacations. So like, thank you, nice. Robinhood, for giving normal Joes like me the ability to do trades like that. And you know, thanks for both of them, I guess, both the app itself, but also just the experience of being in the app. Yeah,
fantastic app. We'll definitely add a link to that as well.
What?
All right. The most important question, the final question. Okay. Do you have Android O installed on your phone right now?
I do not. Shame none. Yeah, you know, to be honest, I just have been lazy, which is, I think, my excuse for a lot of things in life. So I've been reading all of the O features, but I just haven't gone and done it. And there's really no excuse other than laziness, like absolute laziness.
No, it's funny though, but like, some people like have been burned in the past with previews, but it looks like the previews are getting slightly more stable now, where you can actually use it. So,
you know, I'm just waiting for them to tell me the name of O, and then I'll download it. I'm holding out, you know.
Such trolls.
I was upset.
Thank you so much for your time, Christina. I hope you have a great IO, and we're all eagerly looking to that session that you'll be giving on Friday, which is going to be amazing.
Keeping my fingers crossed. Thanks for having me. Right.
Thank you.
So my name is Hugo Visser. I'm a freelance Android developer for my company called Little Robots. I live in the Netherlands, and I usually just do contracting, multiple projects at the same time, usually, just not to get bored.
So as we're talking, just before we kind of hopped on the mic here, you actually developed a plugin that probably the majority of the Android developers used, you know, prior to this last year, and anytime they used a particular tool. Would you mind explaining what that was, just so kind of folks can get tied 2 and 2 together?
Yeah, so that was the Android APT plugin, which I initially wrote basically for myself when we started to migrate from Eclipse to Android Studio. I had a couple of annotation processes that just didn't work anymore. Mm-hmm. So I created that, I guess it was something around three and a half years ago, I guess. And especially when Dagger 2 came out, a lot of people started also relying on that. And before that, a lot of people used it for frameworks like Android annotations. So in particular, libraries that annotation process that create code, which you then need to reference in your own Java files.
Yeah.
If you didn't apply that plugin, then you couldn't basically compile your code in Android 3, or it would tell you that it wouldn't compile. But
so we couldn't find the source.
It couldn't find a source. Okay. It would still compile on the command line, but it would be very usable in the IDE.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. So of the things that have been announced today at Google I/O, which there are many, what's been your favorite announcement that's been released so far?
Yeah, I think it must be the architecture components.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah, because it's good to, especially in the project where I land on, I see there's a lot of confusion how to architect it and a lot of mistakes being made.
Okay.
And I think having some guidance on architecture in particular, but also supplying components where you can pick and choose if you want to use those components, I think that's a good thing. It's not like a huge framework as far as I can tell now. It's just useful ingredients that you can use to solve some problems, and you can use them together or separate or with other frameworks. So that's I think that's quite big for.
Cool.
Yeah, I think having those recipes set there for you is a good thing, and everyone's just going to benefit from them.
Yeah.
So another thing that was announced today was Kotlin. Do you use Kotlin at all in any of your applications at all?
I've played around with it, but I haven't had the opportunity to actually use it in a production app. Most of the projects I land are just plain Java, and
it's kind of the case. I'm also a consultant and independent as well, and a lot of folks ask me, do you write all Kotlin? And it's usually only if the client is writing in Kotlin while I write Kotlin, because me and you need to leave the code bases in a state in which future developers can show up and start being productive.
Yes, exactly. So I'm a bit of a traditional Java programmer, I guess. I'm a little bit conservative.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I don't want to leave this project in some experimental state when I leave. I think it's important that the code that I leave is maintainable, hopefully more maintainable as compared to when I start. But so that's one of the reasons why Kotlin hasn't been a real thing in the projects where I land on yet.
So there's been a lot of talk, you know, we have Kotlin now, of course we've got Java, but now we have this whole other thing that's happening around JavaScript, and mainly like the React Native stuff is happening. There's a lot of, takes on that, and it's, some are for it, some are against it. What's your take on the whole React Native thing that's happening right now?
Yeah, I'm not a real expert on React Native, but I have done some JavaScript development in the past. And I think, again, as a Java developer, once you get used to static typing, you get scared of anything that's not statically typed. And mm-hmm. JavaScript is in particular a little bit weird to me. But as a cross-platform kind of things, I've never really seen something really work. I guess React Native, from what I've seen, is good to get started fast and cross-platform in that sense. But I also have the impression that once you have something and you want to tweak it more and want to make more performant, then that's where you run into trouble.
Yeah.
But that's more or less hearsay.
Yeah.
So I'm in general not a really big fan. I think native is still, if you want to like the best UX, best performance, then you probably land on native. But I understand the why companies would invest in something like a cross-platform solution like that.
Yeah. Definitely.
So I think one of the things that's also interesting about cross-platforms is the various tools. There's so many things out there that you can develop in JavaScript. Some are very Notepad style. Some are full IDEs like WebStorm.
Yeah.
And it kind of brings you to the next question, which is a question about Android Studio. Is there anything, Android Studio is a great tool as it is already. Is there anything in Android Studio that you wish that it did that it doesn't do right now?
I don't think there are major things that I'm missing. Maybe some smaller annoyances. Like I've been doing a lot of data binding work now.
Mm-hmm.
And every time you create a layout, and you can change the root tag. And when you name that layout, it will also add some properties on that layout tag. If you keep those properties and then compile your layout, then the build will fail.
Okay.
So just those small annoyances, just recognize that I'm doing a data binding layout now and don't add these properties.
Yeah.
But that's not a big thing. There's probably a bug open for that already.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do a pretty good job over there in the Android tools team. So again, we've given a few shout outs to them. So good job on that side team. Now, on the same kind of token, is there anything about Android development that you just wish was completely different, that was just maybe easier or anything of that nature?
Again, I don't have much complaints. I think my main complaint would still be like the generic build times and deployment times on devices. I usually tend to develop on devices because, I don't know, I'm just used to that. And that can get a little bit slow sometimes, even with instant run, which is not really reliable for me, at least.
Yeah.
In that area, there could always be some improvements. I hear that they're doing some great stuff with the new Gradle 2.5 plugin for Android. And also on the Gradle side itself, it's getting faster and faster. So, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff coming down the pipe. It's going to be exciting next few months to see what's coming down here. Now, as I've been sitting here talking to various different individuals, we have people from all over the world, such as yourself. The one thing I'm really noticing is the vast array of different applications that everybody has. I use one messaging app, the next person uses something different. I use a fitness app, this other person uses something different. So we've been wanting to ask a question to everybody. What is an app that you've recently used that you've really grown fond of, or something that you like to use that you would recommend to other people?
Oh, that's a hard one. Yeah, I don't use that many apps, but the apps that I use are more for practical reasons, like my banking app, for example, which is pretty local to the Netherlands, I guess. But they have this one feature which is really convenient if you're like doing a payment on the web. Mm-hmm. They show you just a little QR code, and you can take over the whole payment process in your mobile phone. And it's much faster because you can authenticate with a fingerprint, for example, and you just see the whole transaction on your phone, and just it's way faster than logging into their web environment. So I think that's pretty nifty, and they're pretty... Yeah, it's a pretty good app as well.
Just using the tools available to you on your phone to make the whole process a lot easier.
Yeah, in the past, I used to switch. So we have like a payment system in the Netherlands called IDEAL, which is like a standard, like PayPal and that kind of stuff. What I used to do is like open the IDEAL page in Chrome, then send the link from Chrome to my mobile version, and then open it there, because then the app would take over.
Yep.
But just having something like that QR code makes it so much easier. And this is a really smooth process that they implemented as well.
So here's the million-dollar question. Do you have Android O, the preview, installed on your phone right now?
I don't. No, I still sport a Nexus 5X, and I think that's the lowest version that's phone that's supported for the beta. And I'm not really so adventurous that I put a developer preview on my daily driver yet. No.
Well, thanks for taking the time today to talk to us here at Google I/O. If folks want to get a hold of you, what's the best way that they can do that?
The best way is probably to follow me on Twitter, or just Google my name and you find my Google Plus
Yeah, we'll add links to the show notes. So if folks want to follow you, they can look right there and follow you there. Again, thanks a lot. Have a good time at Google I/O.
Thank you.
All right. It is good to meet you in person. You've been on the show before. Can you tell us who you are and what you do?
I'm Ravish Bhalla, and I'm a freelance designer back in India.
This is the first time like Don and like Ravish and I are meeting together.
Yeah, all in one here. It's not on just online.
All right. So what was the most exciting announcement that you heard at Google I/O?
Personally, Android Go. It's interesting to see what they're going to do different for Indian users. Like some of my next billion user talk has been about doing stuff differently for them. So it's good to see what's going to happen there.
Yeah. I remember when they said, like, they actually used the term too, right? Like the next billion users are NBU or something. And so I was like, oh, Ravish is going to be happy.
Yeah, I'm really happy. Yeah.
Okay, so this is switching gears a little. Another big announcement today that was made is Kotlin, right?
Right.
So have you used Kotlin before?
No, I haven't. I really wanted to. I don't write enough code to take out the time for it. It's kind of one of those cases where you're like, it's going to speed up my code, but should I learn how to write it to speed up my code in the first place? But I'd probably be pushed over the edge now.
Another parallel thought that's been going on is like, oh, maybe folks should like also try out React Native, because that makes it easier to like share code bases, and then you know, in the same vein as like efficiency, right? Do you have thoughts on that?
I have a colleague of mine who actually likes React Native a lot. So I think it's got its own challenges. If you've got a team who just writes Android code, I don't think you should be getting into React. But at the same time, like if you've got someone who's really good on the web, it might make sense to do some React Native stuff as well.
with Android Studio, right? Everyone loves Android Studio. All of us like love working on Android Studio. But we're trying to say, like, if there was one thing that you wanted Android Studio to have that it currently doesn't, what do you think that would be?
Better importing of SVGs from Sketch in particular, right? The number of issues that we have, right?
I didn't even think about that. But like, yeah, Sketch is big now, and like, if you had like the same kind of like tooling that you have, well, the folks know what to work on now.
Exactly.
All right. And stepping back a little, if you could change one thing about Android development in general, what do you think that would be? Because I know you were big on the next billion users and like the features there. So like, is there anything else you think with Android development that they could maybe enhance or like make better?
I think some of the stuff they announced today with Android components is going to be huge, the architecture components. I think the big issue that I've seen over the years is like these legacy code bases that are just not designed to go forward well. So it's good to see them become more opinionated about it. So I'd like to see more people just focus on that itself right now. Some of the training stuff is going to help, I guess, the new dev side that they have for the components is going to help telling people like, okay, this is how you should really look to architect your app. So.
And it'll also be interesting to see that transition, right? Because like, given that they've specified this architecture, how are people like going to move and like how they're going to figure that out,
exactly.
Right? What is one app that you have on your phone now that you think our listeners should definitely try out? And yeah, I think you'll have an interesting answer.
You're gonna have something.
I mentioned this on the last time I was on. It's Enki, essentially, right? So essentially, since I don't get to write enough code, I still try to take out about 5 minutes a day just to improve my to stay in touch with it, and that really helps in that.
And for those of us who don't know what it is, can you just like give us like what exactly the app does?
Yeah, so Enki is essentially an app that helps you stay in touch with some of the development practices and all, and also kind of helps you learn a new language if you're trying to. So everyone should learn good practices and just take out 5 minutes a day, right?
That's fantastic. And I think our listeners would specifically appreciate that one. All right, and this is like a bold question. Do you have Android O on your phone installed now? How brave have you been?
Not yet. I'm going on a road trip right after this. I'm not going to risk it. I had smart. Lollipop preview right after it came out, and then I was on a trip, and basically maps would not work for me, so I'm not going to risk it.
Yikes.
Okay, smart, very smart. Ravish, as always, a pleasure to have you on, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your I.O.
Thanks so much.
So my name is Etienne Caro. I'm a software developer / mobile lead for a company called Shopify in Canada.
All right. So what's the most exciting thing that you've heard happen here at Google I.O.?
Let me think a second. It starts with a K. Kotlin, I would think, would be the number one thing, definitely.
Yeah, it seems to be the most popular consensus that we've seen thus far. So have you used Kotlin at all in your production and code base or any code base for that matter?
Actually, no. So I'm not one of the cool kids yet. The thing is, I use RxJava a ton. So I know for a fact that Kotlin simplifies that a lot. I've seen all the code samples. I've been jealous of people that can use it. And now that it's sort of got official sanction and support, I'll definitely be able to use that to simplify my Rx chains. So I'm a very happy person.
Definitely. So what's, other than the Rx stuff, is there anything else cool that you really like about Kotlin as a language itself?
I gotta say, yeah. The syntactic sugar obviously is like a really big plus. Getting rid of all the accessors and all the boilerplate from Java, that's also great. And I understand that it makes functional programming a lot easier. So that's what I'm most excited to sort of discover and play around with.
Excellent. So you've used Java, you're getting into Kotlin now. And now there's the whole thing about React Native and JavaScript and everything like that. What's your take on that whole situation that's happening in the industry?
So I'll be honest, I'm not a fan of anything that's JS based or one of those cross-platform things, but I'm actually a fan of React as like a concept. Like they have a reactive flow going on in there. So the architecture is very interesting. And in some ways I've been emulating that in my own project. So I think there's a lot to go get there. I'm just not convinced about the whole one system to rule them all concept.
Excellent. Yeah, it's a lot of folks with different varying opinions, that's for sure. So especially here at an Android conference. So what's one thing that Android Studio doesn't do that maybe that you wish that it did do?
So right now, I don't feel like the support for OpenGL debugging is that awesome. Like you often have to go dip into like some weird Eclipse ID depending on the chipset you're targeting. So I wish that was given a little bit more love, but there is some support for OpenGL in there, the debugging part. So, and they just announced that they're going to support OpenGL ES3 in the emulator, so I'm pretty excited about that. But yeah, that's my big sort of missing piece personally.
Cool. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. You do a lot of the OpenGL, as you know, kind of work with it, and you have a course on Castor.io and everything. So I could see how that would be very important to you. Now, if you could change one thing, though, about Android development, is there anything that you would change? And if so, what would it be?
Wait, it starts with a K. Yeah, yeah. Kotlin was the thing. I was like blown away. Like, that was my one thing on the wish list. I was like, well, the community really likes it. Maybe in a couple of years we'll see support. So that was like the best Christmas day ever.
Cool. We're also asking everyone we're talking to here is like, what's maybe one of their favorite apps they've been using recently that you would recommend maybe to a friend or just even to the listeners? Or if you ran into someone here, is there any app you would recommend them to try out or just check out?
Yeah, so I've actually been on a big app diet lately. I've been trying to cut down on like the whole home screen thing. The one app that is on my home screen permanently now is Safari Q. It's a reader for all the Safari technical books, so that's kind of a nice one. Yeah, that's the one that comes to mind.
Cool. And then the golden question here, do you have the Android O preview installed on your device right now?
No.
All right, Etienne, if folks want to get a hold of you and get in contact with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Pretty much on Twitter, so at CanIWish, that's K-A-N-A-W-I-S-H. That's be the one, number one. I'm also on GitHub under that handle.
Great. All right, we'll put the link in the show notes for that, and we hope you have a good I.O.
Thank you. You too.
I know you from another library that was actually pretty famous, but could you tell our listeners who you are and what you do?
Sure. I'm Chris Jenkins. I'm the CTO of Owler. And I guess what I'm famous for is calligraphy, which was thankfully deprecated today.
Oh, yeah.
So it's they'll be following up with guides on how to do that. But yeah, I've been an Android developer for 7 years or so.
Perfect. So, I mean, this I/O is probably extremely special for you in multiple ways. But if I had to ask, what was one exciting announcement that you heard at I/O?
I mean, I could just jump on the Kotlin bandwagon. That was definitely one. That's the highlight for me. But actually, one of the cool things I really probably less talked about is the photo lens stuff. That seems to be going to be super exciting, and I want to see where that goes. And that's, I can kind of the demos I showed. If it works as it says in the demos, then it's going to be pretty awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there were like some really cool demos that they showed in the keynote as well, right? Perfect. Okay. So I do know you're big on Kotlin from having talked to you before. If you had one specific feature that you thought is like super cool that our listeners should look at Kotlin, what would that be?
So, yeah, I mean, I guess if I had to pick one, I think a not too liberal use of inline functions. Inline and extension functions. So if you're, I mean, we use extension functions and inline functions, and we use inline functions to kind of reduce method counts where you're kind of doing, like when you're trying to break up code and put things to private methods, but you can inline them and actually then inline all your code, but still keep it testable, but then you keep your method count down. And of course, extension functions as well, like you want to add extensions onto, say, string or any inbuilt classes. You know, it's kind of built how C# works, and you could do, I think C# and Objective-C you could do as well with their mechanisms, yeah.
Perfect. So along those same lines, another, before Kotlin was officially announced, one thing that folks have been talking about is like also potentially using like other stuff like JavaScript, like React Native, Kotlin. Do you have thoughts on that?
So, yeah, the kind of the React Native thing comes up a lot. I seem to be, everyone I talk to seems to ask me, hey, what do you think of it? So, I haven't played with it personally. I mean, I've talked to a few people about it. I don't know yet. I mean, I think as kind of cross-platform tools go, I think it's probably the closest we've got so far, right? But yeah, I mean, it looks promising and it's quite impressive how it works, but yeah, I haven't tried it yet, so I don't know.
That's fine. It's good to know. So Android Studio is pretty awesome. We all love Android Studio, but if there was one thing you hoped Android Studio did, what would it be?
So, I mean, they've addressed one thing or got much better with build caching in this release, and and I think they added two more parts of incremental support for Java C and some other incremental support in the dexing as well now. Mm-hmm. Still annotation processing. If they improve incremental support and annotation processing, then much more modular build, which they're kind of moving towards. But yeah, so modular builds, parallelization, and like everything being incremental, I just think we'll see build speeds increase significantly. Yes, that still seems to be a pain point for me and probably a lot of people still.
Absolutely. Build speeds, man, that's where we want our timings to go down, right? And if you could step back and change one thing about Android development in general, what would it be?
Again, I don't want to jump on the bandwagon of like fragments, and you know, I think activity and fragments serve the purpose. But that's a good question. I think. I don't know. Never really.
Life is good in the Android world, eh?
Again, the thing they addressed was like, I think of adopting a more modern language earlier. And, you know, one thing I think with Android was they were using just Java 6 and Java 7, barely Java 7 for so long, and where all other languages have eclipsed them. You know, I think now it's addressed is I wish they brought Kotlin or another language in sooner. And I'm really glad that we're now there, right? As a first class citizen kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. All right, so if you pulled up your phone now and you saw the list of apps, what is one app you think is really well done? You know, good design or executed well, you know, the code's good. Like, what's one app that you want our listeners to look at?
Yeah, so it's not a new app by any stretch of imagination. It was Waze.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think the design's top notch. I want to say it's like childlike in the kind of the play, and you know, but the buttons are big because you're meant to be driving and using it, right? So not meant to be using whilst driving, but don't do that. But you know, it's meant to be easy to
use.
Don't
ask, don't tell. Like they have that thing that says, "Are you a passenger?"
Yes, I'm a passenger, honest. But you know, the routing algorithms, and like, you know, I've been driving in London a lot, and compared to Google Maps, it's just
as
like
a passenger.
Yeah, as a passenger. Inverted quotes. And the kind of the routing algorithm and real-time traffic and people, the crowdsourcing of data as well. Like, I barely ever get stuck in traffic in London while I was using it, whereas Google Maps, I'll drive out the road and be like, oh, I'm stuck. So, I mean, I don't know how well it works in the US in comparison, but in Europe, it's pretty damn good.
That's awesome. Okay, the final question, and this is like kind of an important question. It's a serious question. Do you have the Android O preview installed on your phone right now?
Yes, I do.
Great.
Yes.
Do you have any interesting stories?
Yes, the Android Pay thing doesn't work. So I was trying to do the reward thing, and then I was like, okay, I'll bring my 6P in today, which I haven't updated yet. But funnily enough, it crashes less than the previous version. If you're struggling with like your phone randomly rebooting, then actually try it out. It's actually more stable. But yeah, it's pretty smooth, actually. It's pretty impressive. Yeah. Oh,
very cool. Yeah. Chris, as always, thank you for your time. If listeners want to reach out to you, what's the best way they can do that?
I guess Chris Jenks on Twitter is probably the easiest. That's the best one.
Fantastic. And we'll make sure to add links to all of that in the show notes. Thanks again for your time. Hope your IO goes great.
Thank you very much.
I'm Brenda Cook. I am an Android developer, and I work for an edtech startup in the Bay Area called Seesaw Learning.
Great. So what's the most important thing, or most exciting thing that you have learned here at Google I? Is there a certain announcement that really was great, or overall, what has been the best thing so far for you?
I mean, I was extremely excited when I heard about Kotlin being first class supported. It's something that I've been wanting to use, and I've really been struggling to get any of the companies that I've worked for since Kotlin sort of became a thing that people were sitting up and taking notice about. I was having a hard time getting my company to be on board because they're just like, well, you know, everybody then has to get on board, and we're not sure whether or not it's just the next flash in the pan, sugar syntactic language. Like, let's not. Yeah. And then the conversation is dead. So I think that now it's no longer even a conversation. So I'm excited.
Definitely. So it sounds like you've used Kotlin before. What's your favorite thing about Kotlin? Is there a certain language feature? Is it just a language itself? Or what's your kind of overall feel? Like, what's the best thing about it?
So sadly, I actually haven't used Kotlin in production. Okay. It's something that I feel like playing with it and doing like sample projects, that's great, but it doesn't really seem to really stick, and really you don't really create those mental models as well when you're just doing a Hello World type app. So I was just like, you know, I really need to just be able to be fully immersive in it and just jump right in and be able to use it. So I've been kind of waiting until that opportunity comes, and I'm hoping that that opportunity is going to be real soon.
Excellent. So let's take this a step further. Kotlin's something new, but there's also the whole React Native thing, JavaScript thing going on. Have you worked with that, or what is your whole take on the whole React Native type situation happening in the industry?
Yeah, that's another thing that actually it's kind of hard to get companies to just really fully embrace, especially if they're more conservative. And so I feel like I've had a struggle with that, like trying to make the argument for. And because the learning curve on it is so steep, I'm still like trying to really grasp it fully. And I feel that if I were working in a team where we were just like living, breathing and dog fooding it, you know, that it would, that the learning curve would be a lot quicker. But, you know, I think it's great. And, you know, anything that, causes people to, you know, be more composable and not, you know, just couple everything together and just react to the data rather than just constantly being like, okay, well, I need something new, so let me just try to pull it again.
Okay, cool. So let's change it up here a little bit. What's one thing that Android Studio doesn't do that you wish that it would do?
There's a lot of really, really great changes. One of my biggest complaints in the past was the profiling tools. They were such a myth to figure out. First, I mean, remember like memory analyzer tool? You know, it was like, it was so hard just to figure out how to produce some output. Once you got that output, it's like, what am I looking at right now? Fast forward to today, and I am like jumping up in my seat, like so excited, because now this is something that is actually something that you can digest and you can understand without a lot of setup and without a lot of time investment just to figure out how to use the tools. And so I'm thrilled.
So in the same vein, is there anything in Android development that you wish was differently or wish you could do that you can't do now?
I'm really excited about the architecture components. That is something that I've been really frustrated about with Android development, is just the way that activities and fragments sort of, they just sort of lend to this, like, oftentimes you see a more junior developer and they'll just put everything in the activity. And you can kind of understand why. You don't necessarily blame them. You just try to educate them, because it sort of feels natural to do that, the way that the framework is architected. And so with these new architecture components, I think that going forward, I'm going to see a lot less of that, and that makes me really excited.
So we've been asking folks here at Google I/O what maybe some apps that they use. Is there a particular app that you like to use, or you'd even recommend to a friend of yours that you've said, hey, this is really a great application? Could be just because you like using it. It could be the design's great. Anything like that. Do you have an app that you could recommend the listeners of Fragmented?
I don't know whether or not they're the most amazing apps in terms of like usability, but they're the first ones that come to mind, and Mint. Yeah. I just recently got on that Mint bandwagon, and I'm kind of obsessed. because it's somehow in my mind gamified like being financially responsible, and that's a good thing. And the other one is this language learning app that I was talking to somebody else about just recently, called Memrise. And because everybody knows about Duolingo, but what I like about Memrise is that it makes sort of mental associations, because the human brain is designed to remember pictures, but we don't remember like these strings of words so much. And so Memrise really taps into that. And plus, it's also kind of a game. There's like this like lightning session where you gotta like quickly do like a speed round of tapping to remember the thing. So it's great.
Cool. We'll have to get the link from you to put that in the show notes. I haven't heard of it. Sounds pretty cool.
It is cool.
All right, so the golden question here, do you have the Android O preview installed on your phone?
I was going to install it, and then I found out that the little tap to pay thing won't work if you've got O, so I didn't.
Yeah, that's what Mark Allison had told me. We saw him install it yesterday at the keynote, and then I saw him today, and he said, yeah, I've removed it because I couldn't use Android Pay.
Yeah, so not yet, because I haven't gotten that little thing, and I want it. So.
Well, we really want to say thank you for taking the time here at Google I/O to talk to us and talk to everyone here on the Fragmented Podcast. If folks want to get a hold of you, what's the best way that they can do that online?
You can reach me on Twitter. My handle is KinoDoggy. All
right, great. We'll put the link in the show notes. Okay. Thanks, Ken. Have a good Google I/O.
All right, thanks.
All right, so I'm here with another developer who I think is a top-notch chap. So the first time I actually saw one of your videos, it was Realm, and you were very early with Realm, right? And it was with an app that all of us adored. It was a Twitter app. So can you tell us a little about that and who you are?
That's right. So I'm Joaquim Vergés. I'm the author of Falcon Pro, which is what you're mentioning, I believe, which the latest version was indeed built with a very early beta of Realm. And I fell in love with their APIs and how fast it was. And so I kind of gave them some free publicity by evangelizing around. And they also host like great talks and have a great venue for that. So that was nice.
Yeah, they've been doing like a really good stuff. Like, you know, they've been very good with the community and like,
super integrating the community. It's really nice to see. Otherwise, at the moment, I'm working for Twitch on the Android team. We recently outgrown the Android team from 3 people to 10 people, and I'm kind of tech leading a little bit the Android effort.
That's awesome. Awesome. And you do have like interest in games as well, right? So like I think at that point I do see like a couple of recommendations from you now and then on Twitter about
in terms of video games.
Yeah,
you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm an old, maybe the older generation, but I love StarCraft,
really?
A 20-year-old game. And I play StarCraft 2, which is 10-year-old now, and okay. I still play it quite a lot. It's very,
what are you, Karen? Like,
I'm a Zerg.
Zerg, oh.
Diamond Zerg.
Okay,
I try
cool.
to keep my practice up. I like the mental brain training that it gives you. It's a lot of like fast thinking, which is kind of my thing.
Nice. Okay, so switching gears a little, we are at I/O. Mm-hmm. What is like the announcement, I guess, that impressed you the most today?
I mean, I think we all agree that the announcement for the official support for Kotlin was right. something that the whole community was waiting for. And I'm so happy to see Google kind of shifting gears a bit from the early days. Mm-hmm. You can tell that the community is influencing Google heavily. And mm-hmm. we have people in the community, in our like Slack channels and everything, that now work at Google. Mm-hmm. And you can see that really heavily in the influence in everything they're doing. The support library that they're providing is really like just basically a response to what the community is doing mm-hmm. and complaining about every single
right.
day.
Right.
And of course, Kotlin has been like a huge bonus for the community. It's very refreshing language. It's kind of like, it's putting like a new fresh coat of paint on something that we still
right.
do every day, but now it's like more fun and more concise and more kind of different. And it's
yeah.
very refreshing to me. So I'm very happy that it's full support, so that all the companies now have no excuse to
if
start
you had
playing
to pick
it.
Like one specific thing that our listeners should really watch like for like in Kotlin that you think is really cool
yeah.
that they should use.
One thing that my favorite thing about Kotlin is the nullability support that it has.
Uh-huh.
So that notation to me is just like, even though it only saves you like 2 lines of code to just wrap that in an if,
mm-hmm.
it's just so much more concise, and it kind of
sure.
forces you to think about nullability a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's completely seamless. Like you can just write it if it was not null. It's completely safe.
Yeah. Lesser NPEs, right?
Exactly. And yeah, at the moment, like we're all hyped with the @non-null @nullable annotations. Everybody's doing that, but with
yeah.
Kotlin, it's like built in. Like you don't even have to worry about it.
Right.
Yeah, and there's like so many little nifty features of the language. Like,
yeah. Very, very cool. So along those same lines, right? Like the community has also been talking about like React Native and JavaScript like
yeah.
before the official support of Kotlin, right?
Yeah.
Do you have thoughts on like, yeah, what are your thoughts on using React Native, like JavaScript, Kotlin?
Yeah, so the problem with React Native and JavaScript, in my opinion, is that it's still a kind of a one language for all platform
mm-hmm.
approach, which inherently, it always means that the language will be kind of following up on the latest stuff that the platforms are adding, whether it's on iOS, on Android, and you will never be able to catch up because it's like trying to catch up on both people racing. Mm-hmm. And for that, like Kotlin is very different because it's for Android, it's the same bytecode in the end, mm-hmm. and it's very much a native thing. The interoperability is also really good, mm-hmm. whereas in React Native, it's kind of like more work.
Right.
Yeah.
No, yeah, that's fair. Also, the first-party support helps, right? So then there's like sort of a commitment there.
Absolutely. Like, now it's the one checkbox, and you can start writing Kotlin code in your Android. That's just amazing. Yeah, it was already pretty easy before, but now it's like you guys should go full in. And even Googlers that didn't believe in it are now super convinced that this is like just a fun thing to have.
That's the best part. Mm. Okay, stepping back a little about other things that are pretty awesome here, right? Android Studio is something that we've loved.
Yeah.
But if you had to pick one thing that you wanted Android Studio to do that it currently doesn't, what would that be?
You know, before Twitch, I was at Twitter and we had huge problems with just the size of the code base. So they've done good work on accelerating the build system a little bit, just building the app from the moment you press that run button to you actually can see it on the screen. It's better, but still for very large code bases, it's just not scalable. And not only just the deploy, time, it's just like the memory consumption is incredible.
Right.
And
you mean like on your machine, right?
On my machine. Actually, I got the latest MacBook Pro at the moment at work. And if I have the Android Studio and the emulator running, even if I'm plugged in to the electricity in the plug, I'm actually losing battery.
Oh, wow. So as you run it, it's actually like...
I'm like never 100%. It's like kind of oscillating like that. Uh-huh. And depending on if the emulator is doing stuff or not. I think it's the emulator more than the studio, but it's so convenient. The emulator is getting really good, but they need to fix that memory consumption.
It's the same. I remember like previously we were like, oh my God, this is unusable. Now it's usable, but like there are like side effects that are like sort of need to be solved. Yep. All right. So stepping back even more, right? Mm-hmm. If there was one thing you could change about Android development in general, right? Like there's one, you have this magic wand, you can change one thing, what would that be?
Ooh, that's a really great question. Let me think. I think maybe like I would remove fragments completely and kind of provide a just much lighter kind of, well, I guess they did it today, which is pretty interesting. Just like a lifecycle dispatcher on views. And I think that's all we wanted, really. We didn't really want fragments. But yeah, no, honestly, Android development, like, I've been doing this for a long time. It's getting to a point where it's very, very mature.
Yeah.
We got so much tools, cool libraries to work with. I can spin up an app in like a couple months and it's going to be ultra polished, ultra nice. And that's all thanks to the community and the open source nature of it.
For sure. They've been doing such good work, right? Like in general now, it's actually pleasant to like develop in Android. Right?
It's amazing.
Not too many people can say that.
Yeah, I feel bad for the iOS developers
who are
stuck.
Right?
Yeah, stuck in the 90s. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So, okay, if you pull up your phone now and you see your apps, right? What is one app that you think our listeners should be using? It could be a game, could be an app, could be anything. What is one thing you think that everyone should definitely take a look because they're doing good work?
So, I mean, I have to say that the upcoming Twitch app is going to be definitely on top of my list, but I don't want to do too much publicity for everyone. So actually, like, still in esports land, I got to give a shout out to these guys. I don't know them or who's developing it, but it's this app called Strafe.
Okay.
Strafe.
Oh.
And, it's just a really nice material designed, esports app to follow, you know, tournaments and players and scores. And, it notifies me when my favorite players are playing a game and I can go straight into the live stream.
Oh, very cool.
They have like a little feed. It's just very well designed. I appreciate the app a lot.
So if people are looking for an esports app recommendation,
Strafe is really good.
Very nice. Yeah. All right. And this is the most important question.
What's that?
Do you have Android O, the preview, installed on your phone?
I have it on my secondary phone, my 6P.
Okay.
I carry a Pixel for my daily, and I have a 6P that was my old phone.
Okay.
And I just installed it there, and honestly, it seems to run okay, but I've heard some people complain about like already a few crashes in the very basic apps, which I'm like, I don't want to deal with that in my daily basis. If I really have to get something done, I want to have something solid. I also noticed that a lot of the changes in O are more like under the hood changes rather than visual.
True.
The main visual thing that you can see, at least on the 6P, because I don't have the new icon things on there, is the notification panel has gone to like a light gray.
Yeah, I know, from a darker sort of theme.
Yeah,
right?
Sure I love it. And I'm not sure why that was necessary. Otherwise, it seems to run all right.
Yeah. I mean, I had, you remember when they changed the notifications from like, they made it this very ultra minimalist thing?
Yeah.
I had the same feeling. That's why I'm not complaining too much now, because then I was like, this is horrible. Why would they do this? Like, it makes no sense. But now actually, I like it. But I don't know if that's just like, I was getting used to it.
Right? Yeah. I could get used to it. It's just a color change. It's just weird that they decided randomly to make it light. I wonder what was the reasoning.
Yeah,
I'd be
curious
to
find out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Joaquim, thank you so much for your time. Always a pleasure to meet up with you.
Thanks, man.
If folks want to reach out to you, like, what's the best way they can do that?
Probably still the best way is to reach me on Twitter at JoeNRV.
Okay.
I'm pretty responsive on there.
Alrighty.
It's still my favorite platform, I gotta say. Don't find me on Facebook. I will not be there.
Alright. So, fantastic. Thank you for your time. Hope you have a great IO.
Thanks, man. You too.
That's it for the show, folks. Fragmented is hosted by Don Felker and me, Kaushik Gopal. We edit and produce all the episodes here on Fragmented. Sarah the Amazing Jackson from the Spec Network helps with production assistance and wraps our final mix. Our theme and ad music is by the national recording artist Blueprint from Weightless Recordings. You can find more Fragmented episodes at fragmentedpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we will catch you in the next episode.
This episode of Fragmented has been brought to you by Rollbar. Now, if you'd like to check out Rollbar, you can go to rollbar.com/fragmented and you'll get the Bootstrap plan for free. Again, go ahead and check that out at rollbar.com/fragmented and you'll get that Bootstrap plan for free. Thanks for listening, and thanks, Rollbar.